everyone. Pastor Ryan here. You likely know each of us, but just in case, I'm the discipleship and worship pastor here at Faith Church. Here with me, I have our counseling and care pastor, Pastor Dick Lehman, right there, as well as our children's pastor, Drew French. And we are in the second of these pastoral panel discussion videos that we want to do, where we're essentially taking 3 weeks to talk about the three main elements of our mission statement, what it means to be in communion with the Lord, in community with one another, and on mission to make disciples. And so today we're going to be talking about that second aspect, what it means to be in community and how we can grow in our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, especially those in our church family. And so I've got a few questions that we're just going to kind of throw around with my brothers here as we talk about community. And so to start off, I'm going to start by asking you guys this. When was a significant time that you remember experiencing true community with fellow Christians in your life? And what made that special for you?
I know for me, I go back to my years in college, and there was a time when I was a sophomore in college, and it was the beginning of the fall semester, and I was living with a non-Christian roommate and feeling really disconnected, really lonely. I actually had someone ask me if I'd like to join a fraternity. It was my brother's fraternity who had gone there years before. I knew that that would not probably be a good decision for me, but I was wrestling with it because I felt so lonely. So I actually prayed. I actually asked God. I said, God, if you don't want me to join this fraternity, then you need to bring some Christians into my life that can help me grow as a Christian. And I prayed that prayer, and the next morning, a guy knocked on my door and asked me if I'd like to be in a Bible study.
Wow.
And it was a guy on my dorm floor, and I said, this must be what God wants me to do instead of joining the fraternity. So I joined that Bible study, and it was life-changing. Out of that, I experienced a real discipleship experience where guys were helping me grow as a Christian. They were helping me learn to read my Bible, to pray, to fellowship with other Christians, to just to deepen my walk with the Lord, and it was life-changing. That sense of community that came out of those subsequent 3-4 years just changed my life.
That's awesome. What about you, Pastor Drew?
One of a real significant time that I think of that just really stands out in my memory was just a few years ago, before we had Finn. Becca had a miscarriage, and it was a really, really painful thing for us and for her particularly, of course. At our church that down in Louisville, I emailed the church and just wanted everyone to know this is happening and to be praying for us specifically. And that was a tough act of vulnerability. I mean, that was a big thing to share with the church.
Sure.
And it was so wonderfully received. I mean, just so like such a loving embrace that we received from God's people. I mean, it was still hard. It didn't make it necessarily easy to go through that painful experience, but it was, it meant that we went through that experience, and at the end of it, we're closer to God's people. You know, it was still painful, but we went through it, and then we were more bound up with his people for just having so many folks just come up and say, I'm sorry, I'm praying for you. So that was a really sweet time of experiencing communion where people were weeping with us as we were weeping.
Yeah, that's a great example of community. It seems like for a lot of us, there's particular seasons of life where community really makes a difference, right? I think for my wife, Amy, and I think of a community group we were a part of when we were newly married and moved out of state, moved out of Arkansas and joined a church. And we were a young married couple. And it was the first time we were a part of a community group for us that wasn't just people just like us. There were some other young marrieds, but we also had some older and some with children and some who were single. And I just remember being really formative for us, that it was good to see what it looks like to be in community with different life stages. And it was some deep knit, intentional community that was developed as we genuinely cared for one another, dove into the word together, had times where we had to lovingly confront or be confronted, right? All seeking to grow in grace. I just remember that being a really meaningful time about 9 or 10 years ago for us in particular. All right. So we tend to think of being in community in two primary ways here at Faith Church. One way is in our gathering on Sunday mornings as a church body for corporate worship on the Lord's Day, something that we're really missing in this season in particular. But we think of that as one aspect of being in community. The other aspect is community group. Life-on-life discipleship relationships that happen in our community group context. And so these are two big emphases for us here at Faith. Why would you guys say that these are each important in our lives as Christians?
Yeah, I'd speak to the church gathered portion, first of all. I think that is so important to our life as Christians, and particularly to our life in community, where what happens when the church gathers is that we get to sing the word together. I just preached about this for Sunday, right? So we're singing the word together, teaching each other and admonishing each other through the word sung. We're praying together, praying the word together. We're reading the word together, and we're hearing the word preached to us. And that kind of word ministry to us gathered is a sort of an experience we all share. Mm. But the context, spiritual conversation with any other person in the church, any other member, we can go up and say, hey, what do you think of the sermon? What did you learn today in the sermon? And we can use the language that the songs give us to be able to speak encouragement to one another. So really what the way the word moves in a congregation is it's sort of like the gathered church is the headwaters of the word flowing through the congregation, and it just reverberates, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's any number of word shaped conversations that are happening in the life of the church throughout the week, that is sort of the word just echoing off of all these different walls that generally often starts with the church gathered, with the sermon being kind of the center point for that week, and then we see how the word echoes around from there.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and I can speak to the smaller gatherings of the church, whether it's in community groups or small groups or more personal relationships. In the last couple of months, of course, given our situation, we've actually had the opportunity to watch the videos of the preaching of the word on a Sunday morning, and then we go right into a Zoom experience where our community group talks about the value of the sermon and what it means for our own personal lives. And I've always felt that there needs to be a safe place where people can share the reality of their personal struggles. And so they're not only hearing what the scripture teaches and thinking about that, but they're applying it to their own personal lives. And they need to have the kind of relationships which feel safe, where they can be honest. So in those settings where people are transparent, people are real, people are actually sharing what their struggles are so that we can encourage each other and pray for each other, it seems like it's a combination of the scriptures that are taught as well as the sharing of life with one another that really enhances the growth. If people grow when they're honestly sharing what they're struggling with one another, in the context of the truth of God's word.
Yeah, that's great, brother. I think both of these things, you know, as discipleship and worship pastor, like both of these are areas that are particularly close to my heart. And so I think, you know, the gathering on the Lord's Day each week is a reminder, as well as our community group time. It's a reminder that while we have a personal relationship with Jesus, it's not so individualized that it precludes relationships with others. In fact, it necessitates community with others in order to grow together. And so on the Lord's Day each week, it's about a communal interaction with Jesus together, where Christ in me meets Christ in you, meets Christ in them. And so I think of just how meaningful and how important it is, not just to come and observe, but to think on how our faith is built, as Pastor Drew was saying, through singing. And as I see my sister singing, who I know has gone through just a difficult time this past week with a family member who's got health issues, and yet she's clinging to the truths of the gospel hope that we're seeing, or I'm able to serve communion to someone who I know has really been struggling with temptation, right? And they're clinging to looking back to Christ rather than seeking to continue in their sin. And so there's this way in which my faith is built in that, this one anothering. Pastor Drew talked about Colossians 3 on Sunday. We teach and admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That happens to let the word of Christ dwell richly in us. And we do this similar thing in community groups, but as you were saying, Dick, it's more of community group gives us the opportunity to be known and to know, right? It allows us to apply the word more directly to our hearts as well as to one another, and to live out those one another's of scripture. So key to our walks with Christ. So let me ask you this. What are some of the difficulties that you face when it comes to being in community with other believers?
Well, I know for me, I think it's common that it seems like that I have to do all of the initiating for connecting with other people. The reason I say it's common is I've heard other people say that as well, that we sometimes are in a position where we need to take the initiative, and sometimes it doesn't feel mutual or reciprocal. I don't know if it's because of my role as a pastor or who I am as a person that it seems like it's up to me to initiate those conversations. But once I initiate them, then the next challenge sometimes is to go much deeper in the conversation so that we're being much more transparent and much more vulnerable and willing to share the reality of what's going on in our lives. And of course, as I think about it as a counselor, that's what I do, right? I try to help people to go deeper. Oftentimes, there surfaces conflicts that are going on between each other, and that's kind of the reality of difficulty with community is that people hurt each other's feelings. People say things that are inappropriate or not helpful, and learning how to navigate those kind of conflicts can be challenging.
Yeah. You know, for me, I thought of a specific moment several years ago, it was a few churches ago, that Amy and I were a part of. We had a young adult lady in our community group who always seemed to be really struggling in different ways, always seemed to have a crisis. Every week there was a new crisis. And our church at the time just lovingly came around her and supported her. And she didn't have any family nearby, anything like that. And so one community group that she was a part of at one point bought her a car. They sought to care for her. They were helping her find jobs. And it always seemed like this sort of emotional roller coaster that she was on. Drama just seemed to follow her around. We were helping her move out of an apartment because of an issue with her roommate. And then she's telling us her boss has let her go. We have to help her find a job. And what ended up happening is she would hop from through a couple different community groups, we found out. And she was trying to fill a void of a relationship and love that only the Lord really could. And yet we wanted to love her. We wanted to care for her genuinely. And it was a struggle where come to find out one day, she was just gone. She moved completely out of state, moved to New York, and we found out that she had actually been lying to us and taking advantage of our heart to care for her. There's a lot of emotional manipulation, and so many of the things that we'd come around her in were just deception. And so it was just really hard. I think of that difficult moment of community for us was that sense of betrayal for our particular group, but also for several folks in our church at that point. And yet, of course, we know, like, even in those difficulties that we face as God's people, we know that the gospel is on display, and so we cling to that hope. But that was a particularly difficult season for us. So, what about you, Drew?
Yeah, I think when I think of the difficulties of building community or being in community, you know, that's kind of like what Dick was saying. Oftentimes, you have to be the first one to be vulnerable. You have to be the pursuer. So I think like if I'm the first one to really go to a heart level seriousness and be vulnerable, you don't know how the other person's going to respond, you know? And even among God's people, even in the church, sometimes that means people are going to respond in such a way that maybe it isn't intentionally hurtful, but it is hurtful, you know, it still hurts. So even in the example I shared earlier about going through something like miscarriage, you know, when you tell people, you're running the risk of them saying some things that don't help, that, you know, they hurt. They're not poorly intentioned, but still they hurt. So that's tough. It's a real danger that you're putting yourself out there for that, but it's still worth it. The other option is that you suffer alone, and to suffer with God's people, and even open up those doors for you to minister to them, even in your heart, is still well worth it, and the Lord is glorified in those ways.
That's good. So it's a little weird to be talking about being in community in this season of COVID-19 pandemic, where we are physically socially distanced in many ways. And so thinking with that in mind in this particular season, what have been some ways maybe that you've been encouraged as you've seen our church respond, the community of believers here? What are some ways that you've been encouraged by what you've seen in them in this season? And then maybe how can we strive to maintain healthy community during these difficult I've been so encouraged just by the amount of prayer in our community groups in particular, how that has increased dramatically, just sharing with one another over Zoom calls and just spending extra time in prayer, as well as just practical needs that our community groups are meeting for one another. In fact, there was a season right at the beginning of this where we had more people wanting to meet needs than we had needs to be met, which is just such a testimony to the generosity of our church body and so many folks that are willing to jump in. Just so thankful for the deacons and community group leaders and elders and different leadership folks, as well as just the church body at large, for how we're seeing some of that Christian love on display in this season. And then as far as striving to maintain healthy community, you know, I think you know, the reality is it's getting harder and harder to be patient as this continues, right? We start to see more and more disagreements, whether it's on social media, and Christians may have vastly differing views or opinions on what we should do next in this season. And so we can be tempted to grow impatient with each other. And so I think we have to strive to maintain a healthy community by showing grace to one another. And even those we disagree strongly with over some of those things, right? Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, right? And so fighting for community means more about loving one another than you love your particular political perspective, right? And so we want to be patient with each other. We want to take time to listen and prefer one another. Jesus said, we'll be known by our love for one another. So that's so key to continue to strive after. What do you think, Pastor Drew?
Yeah. I think the thing that I've been most encouraged by just in this season has been our midday Tuesday prayer meetings that we've been having. That has been such a sweet thing to get to pray with some of the members of the church who aren't in my community groups. I don't get to know them or pray with them normally, but being able to pray for the needs of the church together is just a great way to grow in affection for the church. You know, you love what you pray for, in a sense. And to be able to come together, to pray together for the life of this body has really encouraged me in even loving this church well as I'm just getting to know you guys as well. So that'll be my encouragement to you guys as a congregation, would be to pray, you know, pray for the body, pray for those who are in different categories, and pray for the needs that you know that are going on. And as possible, pray with people. Call somebody and say, hey, I just heard this prayer from this mutual friend. Can we pray for him together? Yeah. Pray with people. It really binds the church together.
That's good. What about you, Pastor Dick?
Yeah, I think this is going to be an interesting new opportunity for us as we re-engage with one another. It's my understanding that things are starting to opening up again. And so how do we do church together, whether it's on Sunday morning or in our gatherings, smaller groups throughout the week? What you both shared reminded me of an acronym that I've used. I've actually shared this with the deacons and with those in the caring ministries. The word is HOPE, H-O-P-E, and I think it's a good acronym for the kinds of relationships we need to have with one another. The H stands for to hear, H-E-A-R, so to listen well, to really hear what's going on in regard to what another person shares with us. The O stands for to observe, that it's not just my listening to what they say, but paying attention to what their needs are. So are they struggling medically, physically? Are they struggling financially or vocationally? Some people will be in a situation where they've been furloughed or they've lost their jobs. So pay attention to what their needs might be. Perhaps they're struggling emotionally or relationally in some way, and or even spiritually. And so to hear what they're saying, what they're sharing from their heart, to observe it and pay attention to it. And then, as Drew said, to pray for them. That's the P in HOPE, is to pray for them with their needs in mind. And then the E is to encourage. And I often think about, what does it mean to encourage somebody? And usually I think in terms of empathy. That the more I empathize with their particular struggle, the more I'm giving them courage to face that struggle. So to encourage is to infuse them, to infuse into them a sense of courage with their situation because I empathize with them. But it's more than just empathy. It's to enlist help. So who do I need to ask that can come alongside this brother or sister or this family, and us together seek to give them additional support if they need that? And I think if we follow this acronym with the people that we fellowship with, I think that'll be true community.
That's great. That's great. So H is hear, observe, pray, and encourage, with a bonus E, right? The enlist as well.
Yeah. Right.
I love acronyms like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just helpful way to remember in this season. All right, last question as we wrap up. All right, maybe there's somebody who's watching this who isn't a part of a local church, or maybe it's somebody who's just tempted to pull away from community in amongst Christians due to hypocrisy or hurt that they've experienced at the hands of the church or specific Christians. And so if somebody like that's listening, what would you say to someone like that who's been hurt by the church, maybe someone who's a little hesitant towards biblical community in this sense?
Well, like I said earlier, I again think that the appropriate initial response is always to empathize. And I think we can empathize with just to hear them out in terms of what it is that they were hurt by, what it is that they experienced, why it is that they have made the decision to pull back in the way that they have. I do think we need to listen with a discerning heart. So to listen with, is that healthy? Is that unhealthy? What parts of it that may need to be kept in mind to address down the road? But the starting point for me is to empathize and probably to remind them, if they don't know this, that the New Testament was large. The letters of the New Testament were largely written to address these kinds of issues. You see all through the pages of the New Testament teaching about ways in which people potentially hurt each other, ways in which they don't live up to the biblical standard of what God wants for them, ways in which they do pull away. I mean, we see that in the scriptures, and encouragement to stay in it in spite of these unfortunate experiences. So great, great teaching in scripture is to persevere, to be steadfast, to be patient, to be enduring even in the midst of these kinds of experiences, and not to pull back and disengage.
Mm. Right on.
And yeah, I think with that, like, there's a temptation when one's been hurt in community, hurt by a particular church, there's a temptation to think that safety is found outside of church. Safety is found in isolation. Safety is found when you're not vulnerable to others. And I mean, like it or not, that's not true either. You know, like it's, you're not safe as a Christian when you're isolated. In fact, we're supposed to be, we're given local church bodies to encourage and admonish us, encourage us in our faith when we are tempted to doubt, and admonish us when we are veering off into sin. So it might be counterintuitive to your experiences, but in reality, the safe place for you is in a body. You know, your spiritual health is to be in a local church. That's God's plan for you. We can say that with full confidence, that that's God's plan for you, to be in a local church as part of his body. So yeah, it's really important. Philippians 2 starts with this, says, "If then there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation in love, if any fellowship in the Spirit, if any affection and mercy." So is there encouragement in Christ and consolation and love? Yes, praise the Lord, there is. Okay, if that, then Paul says, "Make my joy complete by thinking the same way, having the same intent on one purpose." Those things, that unity that we can have in Christ, brings us together, and we can rest our ground, our encouragement in engaging with the people of God based on the character of God.
Ooh. So good. Great thoughts, y'all. I think, on one hand, when I think of this question, what would I say to someone who's been hurt by the church, who's hesitant towards community? You know, it can be hard because everybody's experience is so different. So there could be varying degrees of what is meant by, you know, they've experienced hypocrisy or hurt by Christians or the church. So you kind of have, on one end of the spectrum, you've got folks who've genuinely experienced deep hurt, abuse, whether it's emotional or worse, at the hands of people in the church, maybe even church leaders, right? We hear these terrible stories on the news, even of these kind of things. And so if that's you and you've experienced something like that, you perhaps need to hear, and we want to make sure you know that is unacceptable and not at all what the Lord intends for his people. And so I'd want to comfort you and say that those who are responsible for that kind of hurt will be held accountable by the Lord Jesus, who builds his church and who watches her closely and gave his blood for her, right? He cares so much about you in that sense. So that's maybe one end of the spectrum, kind of the extreme hurt. Other end of the spectrum, you know, sometimes you talk to folks who just seem to be needlessly antagonistic towards Christians in general, right? Maybe they are tempted to just kind of label all churches, all Christians as a bunch of hypocrites, right? Church is just full of hypocrites. And one of my favorite responses I heard somebody say one time is, "We're not full of hypocrites. There's always room for you too," right? Because there's a reality that all of us, we have standards that we say we live by, and yet we fail to uphold. And so the reality is, we need to be a part of a community that acknowledges our failings and weaknesses. That's what true biblical community should be striving for, to say, "Hey, we know we don't live up to this all the time. We're calling people to be holy as God is holy. And yet we're seeking to grow in Christ. And it is he that forgives us and uses us to grow one another." So maybe there's those two extremes, and maybe right in the middle, lastly, there's some folks who might, maybe you're just hesitant because you've experienced some relational betrayal in a community group, or you've been hurt in the past by folks you thought you could trust in church. And the reality is this: we cannot guarantee that you'll never be hurt. In fact, you could almost guarantee on some level the opposite, because we're sinners, right? We wrong each other, and any relationship runs the risk of sinning against someone or being sinned against. But what should separate being a community as believers is that we are quick to repent, we are quick to forgive, and that we're quick to look to Christ and grow together. I think of the words 2 Corinthians 12, where Jesus says his grace is sufficient for us, and it's in our weakness, actually, that Christ's power is made on full display. So we want to live that out in community with one another. So let me make this appeal as we end our time. Maybe you're in this season going, what a weird time to be talking about in community. But the reality is this. We want you to plug in. And so we're shooting these videos on Sundays right now for worship and for sermons. And maybe you can hop in with us there, watch those. But maybe this is a great time to join a community group still. I've had multiple folks who have connected with community groups, even in this season, where community groups are still just meeting over Zoom. And I think the reality is, in kind of our pandemic realities, we are experiencing the loneliness, our need for community. And we long for the day, Lord willing, soon, in a few weeks, perhaps, that we'll be able to regather in person at church and with fellow believers in community groups. But in the meantime, I encourage you, shoot me an email, rbroadhurst@faithchurch.net. I'd love to get you plugged in with some brothers and sisters in community as well. And so, Pastor Drew, Pastor Dick, just want to say thanks for taking the time, brothers.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan.
Great stuff. All right. Y'all take care. God bless. We'll see you.